One of the venues hosting Brighton Festival events is the Attenborough Centre for the Creative Arts, ACCA for short. And there are three festival events on there, Seances this Thursday and Friday. Superho runs from Sunday 19th to Tuesday 21st. And Berlin's True Copy is on from Thursday 23rd through to Sunday 26th of May. You don't need to have written all that down. We're going to go through that because we're being joined by ACCA's Creative Director, Laura McDermott. Hello, Laura.
Hello, good evening.
Hello. Now, let's start with that question, which you must get annoyed that you're still getting asked it. ACCA, where is it? Didn't that used to be called something else?
ACCA, or Attenborough Centre for the Creative Arts, as you beautifully introduced us, is the old Gardner Arts Centre. So it's just outside Brighton on the University of Sussex campus. It's a beautiful, round, red brick building designed by Basil Spence that's nestled in the South Downs on the University campus just by Stanmer Park.
Now, I didn't know the Gardner building. I've only been in the guises.
I did.
Yeah,
no,
sure.
Melita can tell you some tales.
Well, maybe not on air, Melita's tales, goodness knows. But is it different?
What's interesting is the building itself is a listed building, Grade 2 star listed. So from the outside, I have actually heard people say, what did they spend all that money on? It looks exactly the same. Well, we weren't allowed to change the fabric of the building because it's listed. But in fact, all the renovations kind of went inside, improving the technical facilities, the acoustic of the auditorium, making the building completely accessible. And so those are the things that, took a long time and also all had to be signed off by Historic England as we went along. So we've been open since 2016. May 2016, we reopened alongside the 50th anniversary of Brighton Festival, which was a really special time because...
Yeah, there's no excuse for not having been there since the reopening then, because it's a long time now.
It's true, but it's not the sort of venue you trip over because it's not in the centre of town. So you do have to make kind of a trip there. But actually, now we've been open for 3 years. Lots of different kind of Brighton art tribes have found their way there. We work regularly with lots of festivals. Brighton Festival, of course, that we're here to talk about, but also Brighton Digital Festival, Cine City. We've got a fantastic music programme, a film programme. We do large-scale installations. We work with people like the Marlborough Theatre and South East Dance. And we host a lot of stuff that's created by students and staff at the University of Sussex as well. So I think by now a lot of people have found us for at least one reason or another. And what I'm keen to let people understand is that other things go on there too. So if you've seen a fantastic film on our beautiful screen, maybe come back and see a gig next time.
Yeah, as a fan of the old school Gardner Arts Centre, because I was a regular up there, and it was closed for about 10 years when
yes,
the University of Sussex took it back in. And then when it opened up again, it was such a joy and a delight. And I think the main fear that people had was like, don't change it, we love it so much. And it's actually changed for the better, and I think it's a phenomenal festival venue and arts venue now. So I think if people haven't been there, definitely do go up there and check out the shows that are coming up for the Brighton Festival.
That's really nice to hear. In fact, this week we have been spending some time in the archives because in autumn it will be 50 years since the Gardner Arts Centre first opened, which was November 1969.
There's a Melita walking in the front door in that photo of the queue of people going in.
I haven't yet found that picture, but I'm going to
read it out. Yeah, I'd be fairly young then, it would have to be said. Thank you.
So yeah, watch this space for more wonderful recollections from Gardner Arts Centre. We'll certainly be coming to talk to you, Melita Dennett.
Oh, amazing. But for now, Brighton Festival,
yes,
and three shows coming up. Let's start with the first one, Seances.
Seances, yeah, we're really, really excited to be hosting the artist Jamil Oluwole Kosoko. He's a US-based artist. He lives in New York at the moment, but he was born and brought up in Detroit. This piece, Seances, is part of a trilogy of works that Jamil has been making about race and ethnicity in America and how that manifests. He actually came to the city back in 2017. We hosted his performance, Hashtag Negrophobia, which was part of Sick Festival, if people remember the wonderful Sick Festival back in 2017. So it's really amazing to bring Jamil back for the second instalment in this series. And it's a much more meditative piece, Seances.
Is he contemplating death and bereavement? Is that...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So hashtag Negrophobia dealt very directly with his brother, his younger brother, who was murdered. And that piece was looking at police brutality, violence, and very much in a contemporary setting. Seances takes a slightly different angle because through that time, Jamil lost his brother, but he's also lost other family members, the last of which was his father, who died actually in the process of him making the piece. So that energy is kind of channeled into the work. It's literally called seances. And Jamil is kind of communing with the dead in interesting ways. He's sort of channeling these spirits of his own ancestral ghosts, but then sort of opening that out into a wider conversation about his whole ancestry, black heritage really, and kind of pulling in different voices of civil rights activists and poets and so on. So it's an amazing piece, and Jamil really is a spectacular performer. He's a kind of shape-shifting figure that goes through these different personas on stage. There's costume changes. He comes out amongst the audience kind of singing and flirting with people, giving out little
Hershey
kisses.
You're doing the movements there. There's a lot of sort of like...
I'm having a memory of seeing that. I saw this performance in Zurich when it was touring Europe last year. And
you're shimmying away there.
You'll see if you come and see the performance.
And he does some mentoring as well, doesn't he?
Jamil does a lot of mentoring and teaching. He's one of those kind of polymath figures. He's a poet, he's an activist, he's a choreographer, he teaches and mentors a lot. And what's really exciting for us here in Brighton is that tomorrow Jamil's going to be running a workshop, which is at the Marlborough Theatre, who I mentioned before. Fantastic organisation that we love collaborating with at ACCA. And tomorrow's workshop is called Transgressive Body. And Jamil will be working with artists, with queer people of colour, and looking at how the body can manifest and challenge and transgress across boundaries. So he's asking people to come along and bring some clothing and some costumes to explore their identity. And
so that's Tuesday at 10:30 in the morning, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, the Marlborough Theatre. I think there are actually a few places left if anyone is absolutely grabbed by that notion. You could book online and turn up tomorrow, but you need to bring some clothing with you.
There's some details on the brightonfestival.org website on that one, so take a look if you're thinking that sounds interesting. So what else? What else is after séances?
So very hot on the heels of séances, which performs until Friday night, so that's 16th and 17th, with a BSL interpreted production on Friday the 17th. We've got an amazing production that's coming down from the Royal Court Theatre, which is co-produced with Talawa, who are Britain's kind of leading black theatre company. They've been making work for about 30 years. And this piece is called Superho by an artist called Nicole Leckie. And it's a story of a woman who is... she's sort of trying to find her way in the world, and she's kind of, at one point, she's the most popular girl in her school, but then she has a few rucks and just her life ends up going on a bit of a different path. So she's sort of in her bedroom, she's writing songs, she's dreaming of her future, but at the same time she's trying to make ends meet, and she ends up taking all these different twists and turns and trying to find work via the internet. So it's a bit of a study on youth, social media, the ethics of people trying to make their way in the world.
And wasn't it a bit of a wow in London?
Yeah,
wow, them in the big city.
Absolutely, like 5-star reviews, I think. Like, so it's been an amazing piece, and I know that Andrew Comben, director of the festival, saw it and realised it was absolutely...
I want this in Brighton.
You know, and also it's that thing with Brighton Festival that because each year there's a guest artistic director, sometimes there's a piece of work that emerges that really seems to chime with the themes and the vision of that guest director, and I think that was absolutely the case with Superho. So I think it was quite a late entry into the programme, and we're thrilled to be able to host it.
Right, the timing worked.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stars aligned.
And old festival favourites, Berlin, who happen to be Dutch. They're Belgian. I'll rewind that. Berlin, who just happen to be Belgian. Been to the festival several times before. Always do really groundbreaking work, which... it's often confusing. Sometimes it's slightly disorientating in terms of the narrative. You don't quite know where you're going. Lots of use of technology and visual jiggery-pokery. They are back with a show called True Copy, which is about an art forger.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated by this piece. And yeah, as you mentioned, Berlin, have been to the city loads of time before. I know they've got a big fan base here. I've got great memories of seeing their piece, again, in that Laurie Anderson 50th anniversary year, the piece Svizdal, that was about an old couple who were living on in the kind of the wake of a nuclear
landscape. Chernobyl.
And they were kind of continuing to make their lives and grow vegetables. And it was a beautiful piece, playful film and diorama. So this True Copy is... a brand new piece. It has been seen on the continent, but this is going to be the UK premiere. And from people I know that live and work in Belgium, there's a lot of good energy coming off this piece. I actually heard someone say on Facebook, this piece of work is so good, it makes every bad night at the theatre you've ever had in your life worthwhile, which I think is kind of like bold praise. So, yeah, what I know about True Copy, I haven't seen it live yet, is that it focuses on this infamous art forger called Geert Jan Jansen. And he ran rings around the art world, basically. He forged Picassos, Matisse, like all sorts of legendary painters, so convincingly that apparently Picasso unknowingly issued a certificate of authenticity for one of the paintings
wow.
that Hirt produced for in Picasso's style. And people still think that some of the paintings that he produced might be hanging in museums, you know, unbeknownst to everyone.
If you love it, I don't get the sort of obsession with, well, if you think it is, and you love the piece of art, does it matter who painted it?
Well, I think this is, as far as I understand it, this is the crux of the piece. So they're really using that to get into that idea of what is truth, what is fiction, what is valuable, what's skillful, who is an artist, you know, and what do we value and revere? So I think it's going to be a very, very clever, kind of playful piece that really makes you think. And on the opening night, Thursday 23rd, there's going to be an in conversation after the performance with Hirt himself, the forger, who's on stage.
Are you sure it's going to be him? Are you sure?
That is a very good question.
Now, is it my memory of seeing one of their shows is there were subtitles or overtitles or something, because it's in Belgian. Now,
yes.
Is this also in
yes, I believe right. The subtitles in
Flemish.
This as well.
Thank you for helping me with that one.
Surtitles as well. But I think, you know, just like watching an international film, it's one of those things that you just tune into at the beginning. It's a bit strange.
Exactly.
Sort of looking at the action and trying to kind of take the words in as well. And eventually you just kind of relax into it and let it flow over
I'm not pointing it out as a kind of, well, don't go because it's like not actually in English. So you might not enjoy it because it's not in English. I'm just pointing it out because then people go, oh, yeah, no, I know what to expect as I walk in. Because otherwise, particularly some people may find that they just can't deal with seeing stuff like that when there's subtitles and things. So, but yeah, they're so good, it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, someone came up to me and said as soon as they saw the festival programme, that was like literally the first thing they booked.
I've been learning Flemish ever since.
you're doing a great job. Not quite as well as Laura is, though. How are tickets going?
Tickets are going pretty good, actually. I think they are... we've actually seen this across a lot of certainly the shows we've been hosting at the Attenborough Centre, quite last-minute booking patterns, but I certainly don't hold that against anyone. There's such a lot of stuff to choose from in the city, in festival and fringe. But all of the shows I mentioned, there are tickets available, I think, on all of the performances. But certainly Berlin is definitely selling fast, so don't sleep on that one too long if you'd like to come along. But tickets are available. Bookable at attenboroughcentre.com or of course via the Brighton Festival website, brightonfestival.org.
Great.
Marvellous.
So Laura McDermott from the Attenborough Centre, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Reverb. What we've got you, what are the plans for Attenborough Centre over the summer? You usually go a bit quiet in the summer, don't you? So are you gearing up for the autumn season?
We do get a little bit quiet over the summer, and yeah, we'll be doing a bit more digging in the archive. As I mentioned, we're finding some serious treasure in there, and there's fantastic archives of the history of the Gardiner Arts Centre that are kept at the Keep, the National Archives, which is part of the University of Sussex as well. But also, quite exciting, this is more behind the scenes exciting, but we're getting a new floor put in.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'm shimmying again. I'm shimmying at the idea of the new floor.
Tell us about the floor.
What's exciting about the new floor is it's going to make it much easier for us to reconfigure the space. So at the moment, it's a fully flexible auditorium, and if you've been to see it in standing formation, it's 500 capacity for a gig, but then the seats go back in and it's kind of end on performance style. But it's going to mean that we can flip that venue round much more quickly. So the upside of that is it's quite likely we're going to have more gigs in the space.
Hooray!
And Emily is a big music fan because
I'm
always see her at festivals. So we're always hard at work.
I like to sit down. So
it's there are some seats on the back balcony. Everything's going to be made possible with this new configuration. So yeah, we'll be busy with some of that behind the scenes stuff, but we'll come back to you in the next few months when we know our full plans for the autumn.
Please do. So that is seances Thursday and Friday at the Attenborough Centre this week, Superhost Sunday the 19th to Tuesday 21st, and True Copy Thursday following week, Thursday the 23rd through to Sunday the 26th, attenboroughcentre.com and brightonfestival.org. Laura McDermott, thank you for joining us, and good luck.
Thank you very much. See you
soon. Cheers. You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.